Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Why do we baptize our little ones? Why not do as some of the other churches do and wait? Perhaps until they can make a decision on their own if they wanted to be added into God's family or be taught the Christian faith. Now, if baptism were simply some cute ceremony, I suppose the baptism of babies would be unnecessary. Or if baptism were merely an outward testimony of an inward faith, as some falsely assert, then there would be no need to baptize the newborns. And if babies were truly innocent, as others make the claim, then, of course, they would not need to be baptized either. Now, there's no way that one could cover in one short sermon all the reasons why we baptize infants. The Bible's teaching on this matter is way too deep, and the scriptures are so rich that we cannot pretend to exhaust all the reasons for why we bring our little ones to the baptismal font as soon as we possibly can. But what I will do tonight is outline a few reasons for why we bring our youngest children to be received into God's kingdom and for them to receive the blessings of God through the waters of holy baptism. Knowing that baptism works forgiveness of sins, rescues from death and the devil, and gives eternal salvation is an excellent reason for why we would want to baptize our children. For we, in love, would want our children to receive these blessings. For as Jesus says, of such belong the kingdom of God. However, some object, asserting that children are not sinners. But a few moments' experience with a baby reveals the sinfulness of babies. Children less than a year old know how to fake cry so that they can deceive their parents and so that they can selfishly obtain their parents' attention. And as Christians, we should be even more convinced, not by our personal experience, but by the Word of God. Psalm 51, verse 5, quoting the NIV, says, "Surely I was sinful from birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me." Children are born in the image and likeness of sinful Adam, the image and likeness of their own sinful parents. They are born as sinners. And the wages of sin is death. They are accountable to their sin. Since children can die, this shows that even children are sinners. If children could not die, then we would assert, as much of the world wants to believe, that they are innocent. So death itself is an indication that they are sinners. Now, this means that they, as sinners, need what Jesus earned for them, which is the forgiveness of sins. He went to the cross and died for all. And so he commands all nations to be baptized, which includes the little ones. Now, when God flooded the world and saved Noah and his family, he found 8 believing, righteous souls, and they were brought into the ark. Isn't that amazing? There were thousands, perhaps hundreds of thousands, maybe even millions of people alive at that time. And God found believing Noah and his wife, their 3 sons, and their wives, 8 souls in all, as those who still believed in God. And so their faith was credited to them as righteousness, and God saved them on the ark. Now, if babies and children are innocent, God would have found them also to be numbered among the righteous, and they too would have been brought along on the ark. But that, of course, did not happen. Instead, they were swept away in the floodwaters along with the rest of the unbelieving world. Sometimes people argue that even if babies are sinners, God would somehow not hold them accountable. Now, while this line of thinking may seem reasonable, it certainly is rational, it is not biblical. Nowhere do the scriptures teach that children are somehow let off the hook. Instead, God's demands for justice apply to all people, and this includes even children. Now, the good thing is that Jesus came into this world and bore the punishment in our place so that God's demands for justice are met in the crucifixion, the shedding of the blood of Jesus, and in his resurrection. We rejoice in that reality, and that blessing is even granted to our little ones by God's grace. Because children are not inherently righteous, they need the blessings of baptism so that they are forgiven, covered with the very righteousness of Christ, and are saved. For that is God's will. As we heard in Mark, Jesus said, "Let the children come to me, do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God." Jesus, the one who loves all and laid down his life for all, wants even little children to be drawn to himself. He wants children to be directed toward him. He wants children to join him in the gates of paradise. And so we bring our children to Jesus in holy baptism so that they are added to God's family and granted that gift of everlasting life and salvation. And as baptized children, we continue to bring them to Jesus so that these little lambs may hear the voice of their good shepherd, that they may hear Jesus, receive his love and forgiveness, and grow in their faith and devotion toward him. There is no greater or more important task for Christian parents than to teach their children the Christian faith. Now, Peter, guided by the Holy Spirit, taught the Christian faith on Pentecost, as we heard in our reading from Acts chapter 2. He preached Jesus, who was crucified and risen. And when the crowd heard Peter's sermon at Pentecost, they were cut to the heart, and they asked the disciples, "What shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." Here Peter is pointing out a consistent biblical theme concerning baptism. Baptism grants the forgiveness of sins earned by Jesus on the cross. That's why Peter would later write in 1 Peter 3, "Baptism now saves you." And so, to quote Peter again, after he preaches a sermon on Pentecost, "Be baptized for the forgiveness of sins." And then notice what Peter says next. He says who this promise for the forgiveness of sins through baptism is granted. He explains that this promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off. And so Peter, who is guided by the Holy Spirit on Pentecost Sunday, said that this promise of baptism for the forgiveness of sins is for our children. Yes, even children may receive the blessings of God in baptism. In fact, the book of Acts records on a few instances that entire households were baptized, and most likely this included young children. And if this is not convincing enough, consider the connection that is made between baptism in the New Testament and the Old Testament ceremony of circumcision. Beginning with Abraham and continuing until the days of Jesus, boys who were added to God's family were circumcised. This rite was performed on boys who were 8 days old. The eighth day is the beginning of a new week. So the child had completed the first week. The eighth day is the new week, in a sense that teaches the new creation. Now listen to the words of Scripture which are found in Colossians chapter 2. In Christ you also were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands by the putting off of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised him from the dead. We heard last week that baptism unites us to the death and resurrection of Jesus. We die to sin and we rise to newness of life in our baptism. Baptism is a new creation. That's why our baptismal fonts are usually eight-sided, to teach that reality. And if Hebrew boys during the Old Testament era were circumcised at 8 days in accordance to God's will to add them to God's family, certainly it follows that it is only right and proper to add our boys and girls into God's family through the waters of holy baptism when they are still infants. The circumcision of Christ by which we are circumcised without hands, as it is clearly taught in Colossians chapter 2, is holy baptism. Now, some make the argument that babies should not be baptized because they should make that decision on their own. Have you noticed, though, that sometimes babies resist getting their diapers or their clothes changed, may even resist wanting to get wet from a bath? Does this mean that we should give in to their decisions and let them remain soiled in their diapers or in their clothes? Of course, that would be inhumane. It would be wrong. We don't let our babies make these types of decisions. Instead, we do what is best for them. And that includes, above all, baptism. Otherwise, they would remain soiled in their sin. Then, upon baptizing our children, we teach them the Christian faith. We don't wait for them to be interested in the matter, but we teach them. If we avoid this matter so that they can decide for themselves, we are then preventing them from making the best choices, for we are not informing them of that which God himself extols as good. Uninformed decisions then, of course, result in bad decisions, preventing our little ones from hearing the word so that they can make their own decisions will result in them walking in the ways of the world, namely the devil. Instead, Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them. Of such belong his kingdom." These words are the simplest and they are the best. And so we in great joy bring our little ones to the Christian faith through the waters of holy baptism. In fact, even these little ones can have faith in Jesus. For God himself is the one who works faith, as Jesus teaches in John 6, where he says, "This is the work of God, that you believe in the one whom he has sent." We are born anew, not by the will of our own self, but by the will of God, as John teaches us in John chapter 1. And Jesus testifies of the faith of infants in Matthew chapter 18, where he says, "These little ones who believe in me," and also in Matthew chapter 21. Matthew 21 is where Jesus rides into Jerusalem triumphantly on Palm Sunday. He rides on this donkey, and the children are singing their praises to Jesus. The Pharisees become upset over this, and they say to Jesus, "Don't you see what these children are doing?" And Jesus says, "Yes, have you never read, 'Out of the mouth of babes and infants, you have brought forth perfect praise.'" Perhaps this all boils down to love. Jesus loved us, and he laid down his life for us. Jesus loves all humans, both young and old, and he wants all to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And so we, loving our children and loving our Lord, are delighted to bring our little ones to Jesus through the waters of holy baptism. We bring them to Jesus, and he blesses them. Thanks be to God. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting.